Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African men's football. Africa's qualifying competition for the 2026 FIFA World Cup officially begins Wednesday at venues across the continent. There are 9 African World Cup qualifying groups. The winner of each group will qualify directly to the 2026 World Cup, which will be held in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And the 4 best group runners-up will be drawn into playoffs to determine Africa's representative in World Cup Interconfederation playoffs. So there's a possibility that 10 African teams could participate at the 2026 World Cup. That would be twice as many that competed at last year's World Cup in Qatar. Cameroon, Ghana, Morocco, Senegal, and Tunisia represented Africa at the 2022 World Cup. African champion Senegal advanced to the round of 16, while Morocco became the first African team in history to reach the World Cup semifinals. Africa's 2026 World Cup qualifying campaign will last 2 years. It's scheduled to end in November 2025. Eritrea has withdrawn from the World Cup qualifying competition, so that means 53 of the FIFA-affiliated teams from the Confederation of African Football, CAF, will be playing. Let's go group by group and take a look at this week's opening World Cup qualifying matches in Africa. Now, the teams in Group A will all be playing in North Africa. Ethiopia will play Sierra Leone in El Jadida, Morocco. Egypt will host Djibouti in Cairo. And Burkina Faso will face Guinea-Bissau in Marrakesh, Morocco. In Group B, the Democratic Republic of Congo will host Mauritania in Kinshasa. Sudan will take on Togo in Benina, Libya, and African champion Senegal will host South Sudan. In Group C, Rwanda is at home against Zimbabwe, Nigeria will host Lesotho, and South Africa is at home against Benin. Turning to Group D, Cape Verde will host Angola, Eswatini will play Libya in Mbombela, South Africa, and Cameroon is at home against Mauritius. In Group E, the Morocco versus Eritrea match, scheduled for Agadir, was canceled after Eritrea's withdrawal. Zambia is at home against Congo Brazzaville, and Niger will take on Tanzania in Marrakesh, Morocco. In Group F, Burundi will play Gambia in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Gabon is at home against Kenya. And Ivory Coast, the host of next year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament, will be at home against the Seychelles. Turning to Group G, Botswana is at home against Mozambique. Algeria will host Somalia. And Guinea will go against Uganda in Burkina, Morocco. In Group H, Equatorial Guinea is at home against Namibia, Liberia will host Malawi, and Tunisia is at home against Sao Tome and Principe. Finally, in Group I, Comoros is at home against the Central African Republic, Ghana will host Madagascar, and Mali is at home against Chad. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Pro basketball. The NBA's in-season tournament resumes later Tuesday night with 10 games. My VOA colleague Mukbil Yabarow explains the competition for us now. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The NBA has introduced a new in-season tournament that it hasn't advertised as much as it should for the casual fan, so I'm here to break it all down. The in-season tournament began on November 3rd, 2023, and the semifinals and the finals will be played in Las Vegas, Nevada on December 7th and December 9th, respectively. The tournament consists of two stages, the group stage and the knockout phase. Both sound very exciting for fans, I am very sure. All 30 teams have been randomly split into six groups of five, three groups in each conference. Each team will play four games in their group stage, and the top two teams will advance to the knockout phase. The Philadelphia 76ers are at home against the Indiana Pacers in one of the in-season tournament games later on Tuesday night. Philadelphia is currently the NBA's hottest team, having won 8 games in a row after a season-opening loss. Philly's Cameroonian star Joel Embiid says the makeup of the team is a good one.
Guys are welcome. Guys are happy to be, you know, playing basketball, and you know, we're just having fun with each other. It's fun playing that way, and I think it translates to the court, because on the court, you know, you just trust each other and, you know, to make plays.
Meanwhile, Embiid's teammate guard Tyrese Maxey is coming off a career-high 50-point performance against Indiana.
I've been missing a lot of open threes. It's funny, I was telling my uncle, I was like, man, I can't keep missing these open shots. You know what I mean? I'm creating this space, and Joel's giving me shots, and guys are giving me open, and I've been missing. You know what I mean? I'm doing everything. I was trying to get downhill, pass, rebound, do all those different things, but I've been missing a lot of open threes, and tonight they fell.
The in-season tournament nights will be Tuesday and Friday nights in November. The unique-looking hardwood floors will signify the in-season tournament for those fans that happen to switch their channel over to some NBA action. The winning team of the first-ever in-season NBA tournament will receive $500,000 per player, and the runners-up will get $200,000 apiece. That is a whole lot of money for the young stars of the league, but will that be enough to excite the bigger names in the league? In the lead at the moment are the Philadelphia 76ers, Charlotte Hornets, and the Boston Celtics for the Eastern groups. As for the Western groups, it is the Utah Jazz, the Denver Nuggets, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Majority of the teams have only played one game, so there can be a plethora of changes to come in the next few group phases. A few games to look forward to tonight will be Miami versus Charlotte, Philadelphia versus Indiana, Portland versus Utah, and Minnesota versus the Golden State Warriors. But that's all from me, Sonny. Back to you.
Thanks, Mukbil. There were 4 NBA games Monday night. The night's high scorer was the Cameroonian Pascal Siakam of the Toronto Raptors. Siakam fired in 39 points as the Raptors defeated the visiting Washington Wizards 111-107. In Boston, the Celtics beat the New York Knicks 114-98. Star forward Jason Tatum scored a game-high 35 points for the Celtics, including 17 in the fourth quarter.
We got outplayed. They played harder than we did. They were the tougher team, and, you know, that was kind of unacceptable. But, you know, we was only down one, so we was fortunate enough to be in that spot So we knew we had a chance.
Meanwhile, Jaylen Brown added 22 points for the Celtics.
Games like this are fun, you know, toughing it out, using our physicality, you know what I mean, and figuring it out down the stretch. And I think that's what we did tonight.
Knicks coach Tom Thibodeau says all of the good his team did in building a first-half lead against the Celtics was undone by late collapses in the second and third quarters.
We played pretty well in the first half. We didn't protect our basket right at the end of that last minute and a half. So, you know, that's against a bad minute, you know, can be 10 points, and it was.
In another NBA game Monday night, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Chicago Bulls 118-109. Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo tallied 35 points and 11 rebounds. Giannis says despite the win, the Bucks have plenty of room for improvement.
One thing I know for sure is that we gotta get better. We are not even close in what we can really do as a team. We have to get better. We have to keep on working on ourselves, keep on watching film.
Milwaukee's head coach, Adrian Griffin, says Giannis Antetokounmpo really came through for the Bucks, especially in the final minutes.
He was phenomenal the whole game, and we needed him down the stretch, and he kind of took things in his own hands, and we needed someone to make the plays. Down the stretch, we got a little bit stagnant. You know, we kind of standing and watching. We just got to keep executing.
In one other NBA game Monday night, the Sacramento Kings beat the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers 132-120. Right now, the Philadelphia 76ers have the NBA's best record at 8 wins and 1 loss. The Boston Celtics, Dallas Mavericks, and defending NBA champion Denver Nuggets are next. They all have records of 8 wins and 2 losses. The Nuggets won the title in June when they beat the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2023, let's listen once again to my report on the Nuggets winning their first NBA championship. The Denver Nuggets defeated the visiting Miami Heat 94-89 to win their first National Basketball Association championship. The Nuggets won the best of 7 NBA Finals, 4-1. Nuggets big man Nikola Jokic tallied a team-high 28 points in Game 5, grabbed 16 rebounds, and was named the NBA Finals Most Valuable Player.
It's good. I mean, it's good. We did a job. I think we played the best basketball in the postseason, but I think we were there playing the best basketball. You know, today we didn't make shots, but still we defend. It's a good feeling when you know that you did something that nobody believes, and just it was just us. It's just the organization of Denver Nuggets believe in us. Every player believe in each other, and I think that's the most important thing.
Nikola Jokic lifted the NBA trophy and the NBA Finals MVP trophy one day after Novak Djokovic won his record 23rd major singles title at the French Open tennis tournament. Jokic was asked if this is the greatest moment for Serbian athletes.
Well, gotta be. You know, sport is something that is always in Serbia, was something that put us in front of everybody, even like 10, 20 years ago, whatever. But now when we have a Djokovic who won probably the best ever, for us, he's the best ever, of course. And now we have a NBA championship, and I think it's a really good moment to be a Serbian.
Meanwhile, another Denver star, Jamal Murray, scored 14 points in Game 5 and got quite emotional during the trophy presentation ceremony.
It was really hard to put into words, still is. I couldn't even hold it in. You know, I don't know. I couldn't really hold it in. It was just a surreal moment, and everything was hitting, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything was hitting at once, from the journey to the celebration with the guys to enjoying the moment to looking back on the rehab to looking back as myself as a kid, as the other viewer, you know what I'm saying, looking from the crowd in or from the camera lens in, and now being able to look back at them, you know what I'm saying? So it was a lot. I couldn't hold it in. It was just something I've been working for my whole life. I think Mike said it, Porter, you know, this is everybody, every real hooper, you know, wants to be on the stage and playing the game and be in this moment. So to see it full circle, you know, going from my rehab, not being able to walk, go up the stairs, like, not just for a month or two, you know what I'm saying? It was for a long time. And a lot of different things going through my head, a lot of tears, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and real ones. Like I said, just to see it full circle and have total belief in myself, have the team have total belief in me, people back home have total belief in me. That's all I could ever ask for. And just to see it like this is amazing.
Denver's head coach is Michael Malone at the post-game news conference. He was asked about the journey he's been on with Nikola Jokic to win the NBA title.
It's been amazing, you know, because you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it from the basketball perspective, two MVPs, finals MVP, world championship, and everything he's done on the court. And then more important for me, you can look at off the court, the relationship, you know, the love that I have for Nikola, his mother and father back in Sombor, Serbia, his brothers Nemanja and Strahina, his wife Natalia and their daughter Ognjena. You know, they're a wonderful family that I've gotten very close to. And I've said this many times before, but Nikola, even tonight, like, he's kind of acting like this was like another game. He's never changed with all the success, and he never will. It's just not in his nature. You know, I love Nikola, 8 years, love Jamal, 7 years, been through a lot. And just for all of us to stay the course, to challenge ourselves, to get better collectively, individually. It's great to be a part of such a historically great player who's an even better person, and I mean that sincerely. This is not coach talk. Nikola is just a great, great man.
Michael Malone's coaching counterpart for the Miami Heat is Eric Spoelstra.
Now, obviously, we didn't get the final win, but sometimes, you know, that's true in sport and also in life, that you don't always get what you want. But there's no regrets from our side. Everybody, staff, player alike in the locker room, put themselves out there and put themselves into the team, whatever was best for the team. And the tough pill to swallow is it just wasn't good enough. We ran it up against a team that was just better than us in this series. You have to tip your hat to them. That I said it, but they're one hell of a basketball team. They play the right way. They compete. They're well coached, and they have a strong culture. So for this season, they deserve this.
That's Eric Spoelstra, the head coach of the Miami Heat basketball team. Now, Spoelstra has certainly been deserving of the NBA trophy in past years. He was an assistant coach when Miami won the NBA title in 2006, and he was Miami's head coach for back-to-back NBA championships in 2012 and 2013. As I mentioned, this was the first NBA championship for the Denver Nuggets. A little history about the team. Denver was founded in 1967 when it became a member of the now-defunct American Basketball Association. I used to love the red, white, and blue basketball the league played with, that is the ABA. The Nuggets joined the NBA in 1976, so it's been a long, long wait, 47 years for the Denver Nuggets in the NBA, almost a half century to win their first NBA title.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world.
Rain on me.
Tune in in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders.
World Athletics has announced the five finalists for its 2023 Male and Female Athlete of the Year Awards. Ladies first. There are two African athletes among the five. They are Tigist Assefa of Ethiopia and Faith Kipyegon of Kenya. Assefa is the reigning world marathon record holder, while Kipyegon is the reigning world champion at both 1,500 meters and 5,000 meters. The three other finalists for the Women's Award are Dutch hurdler Femke Bol, Jamaican sprinter Sharika Jackson, and Venezuelan triple jumper Yulimar Rojas. On the men's side, there is only one African athlete among the five finalists, world marathon record holder Kelvin Kiptum of Kenya. You'll remember Kiptum clocked 2 hours and 35 seconds at this year's Chicago Marathon. The four other finalists for the men's award are Indian javelin thrower Neeraj Chopra, Ryan Krauser of the USA, the world shot put champion, Swedish pole vault world champion Mondo Duplantis, and American sprinter Noah Lyles, who is the reigning world champion at 100 meters and 200 meters. The World Athletes of the Year will be announced on December 11th. Meanwhile, the reigning Olympic champion in the women's discus, American Valerie Allman, says she hopes to get back on top of the podium at next year's Paris Olympics.
When I think about going into 2024, there's so many things from the past few years that I'm excited to use to build my confidence, to know that when I get there, I can compete. But I think the biggest thing for me that I want to change going into this one is coming in with the mindset of really going for it. For me, the last 2 years at World Championships, I'm proud of my performance, but I fell short of that top spot on the podium. And I know that if that's the goal, that you have to have a fearlessness of really pushing yourself. So for me, it's all about trying to figure out how I can go for that 1-3% that tries to set me apart from the competition.
Since winning Olympic gold in Tokyo, Valerie Allman has won a silver medal and a bronze medal at the past two World Athletics Championships.
It is so hard to fall short of a goal. It is so challenging to devote yourself and be all into something and feel like it's right there and then it like slips away, you know? But I think in life it's about making it more than just the competition, making it about the journey, the people you're with, the challenges you face and how you overcome them. And Budapest was a big challenge, but I think in my heart I believe it's gonna prepare me to take on new and maybe even bigger goals.
Olympic discus champion Valerie Allman of the USA says next year's Paris Olympics will also be a milestone for gender equality in sports.
It's pretty incredible. As a female in a field event, which happens to be throwing, I think sometimes I felt aware of maybe some of the inequity in sport and just kind of what's celebrated. So the fact that these games are reaching a new moment for sport and celebrating this sense of equality, I think is so special. But that only comes from recognition of the fans, of athletes, of the television broadcasting, to be able to recognize that that's important. And I think, you know, there's been so many cool moments in women's sports where it's shown that if you give them the platform, they're going to put on a really great performance. So I think that Paris will really capture that. I think in Paris, with it having that full, honestly, probably revamped energy because there wasn't that in Tokyo, it's going to be crazy. Having my family there is going to be so special, but balancing how do I stick to the plan that we're setting out and not let those distractions take away from what we're trying to achieve is going to be a challenge. But I think when you get onto the competition floor, if that's something that I'm able to do, it's going to be electric. I really think it's going to be an incredible games.
Olympic discus champion Valerie Allman, who is looking forward to next year's Paris Games. Botswana's Letsile Tebogo is also looking forward to the 2024 Paris Olympics. Tebogo will be aiming for his first Olympic medal. He won a silver medal at 100 meters and a bronze medal at 200 meters at this year's World Championships in Budapest. He is Botswana's national record holder at both distances. Tebogo was recently honored in his home village of Kanye with gifts, including two cows. For his part, Letsile Tebogo thanked the residents for their support and promised he will win a medal at next year's Olympics in Paris. Another African athlete to watch in Paris in 2024 is the Nigerian Tobi Amusan, the world record holder in the women's 100 meters hurdles. Over the weekend, Tobi returned to her local community in Ijebu Odu, Ogun State, for the annual Ijebu Sprints and Relays competition. Tobi says she hopes to inspire young Nigerian athletes who hope to be like her. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at @VOASunnySports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com. VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.